Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Zach Jackson, let's talk about the schedule. Man, did you ever think when you were a kid, people, myself included, Zach, would be this excited about a schedule?
When I was a kid, all I wanted to do was be on the radio with you, boy.
I'm sure you did. What do you mean with me? I'm the same age as you. Nah, you're probably younger than me. How old are you? I don't even know how old you are.
I'm guessing I'm just a little bit younger than you. But no, I listened. I was a nerd. I listened to a lot of sports radio.
Yeah.
You know, I don't recall the schedule thing. I think, you know, the internet has certainly changed much about the NFL offseason. You know, I think most teams do a masterful job with the social media thing, and then it's kind of scripted for that. You know, they leak in the morning using traditional media. They let people tweet about it all day long, and then they know at 7:45 every team can blast it out, right, on their Instagram account, on their Twitter account, the videos. And then you still talk about it back on traditional media in the morning. So as I kind of wrote today, like, nobody does excess like the NFL, but they also do it pretty well, right? So I agree with you. It's completely ridiculous, but here we are a day later.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but I love it. I'm part of the ridiculousness. I'm as guilty as anyone. You know, it's funny. We spent so much time yesterday talking about them playing the Chiefs in week one because that was the information we got, as you said. But if you look at the schedule, like weeks 2 through 11, I think, before they play Baltimore week 13 or 12, that chunk of that schedule, which is a long chunk, is a lot of home games and actually a lot of favorable games overall in that stretch. That's their opportunity, if you will, I think, to really pile up the wins. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not excited about anything until the Steelers game in week 8. And that's okay, just because it's a long season and you have a team that's good enough to have realistic dreams. So they all matter, Bull. You know, the back-to-back at Minnesota, at the Chargers, that's very difficult. You know, playing Arizona and then a short week to follow that, that's very difficult. But the Browns are good. They obviously are not perfect, and they remade their defense for a reason. But, you know, I see organic growth. I see lots of good players. I see a team that handled an unprecedented amount of challenges last year all pretty well. So, you know, week 8, the first division game, you know, in playing the Steelers, I think that's the close of a 3-game homestand. You're not going to remember anything. You could have lost that opener by 100 last year, Bull.
That's
they
right.
Still won 11 games. So that doesn't mean there won't be excitement for the KC game. And that doesn't mean if they stub their toe along the way that people won't be ready to freak out, right? But they also could start 7-1. So,
yeah,
it's a schedule. And I think the number one thing with the schedule is it's a reminder that other teams have good players and had good off seasons too, right? Because everybody right now – thinks their pass defense is fixed, thinks their coach is going to be better, thinks they're going to be healthier last year, and half of them will be right. But until we get in it, we don't know, you know, who's right and in which category that they're right.
I mean, to your point, right, when the draft is over, everybody's like – every draft analyst is like, well, they filled this need and that need. But the guys they just replaced, you thought those guys filled the need when you drafted them. So who knows?
Right, and on a good team like the Browns, like, we have to be careful to say these 21-year-old rookies are probably not going to be Ronnie Lott right away. They might be, and that'd be great. But, you know, I mean, look, the Browns, realistically, Newsom is a starter or close. JOK is a starter, probably for sure. But, like, they didn't need – they already had their guys. Every guy on offense plus the first five reserves are back. You know, almost every guy on defense is new, and that was for a reason. They said their defense wasn't good enough and no lead was safe. So – you know, we just need to see that all come together. I think they're probably disappointed, and I am disappointed that KC is week one, because I would rather play that game later in the year so you get a full gauge on things, because teams are just, you know, figuring things out, and that includes the Chiefs, the two-time AFC defending champs. But
right.
you play them all at some time, right?
Yeah.
The weather is a factor, as we saw last year in a number of games, and ultimately it's about winning your division games, and, you know, five of those six are in that last stretch.
We're talking with Zach Jackson. Zach, you know, one of the very few new faces that will be on the offense is Anthony Schwartz. What kind of role do you expect him to have his rookie season?
Well, last year, early in the year, and this is totally forgotten because things that happen early in the year are, they tried JoJo Natson on a lot of reverses, quick screens, ends arounds, things like that. So the way I envision it, especially because Peoples, Jones, and Higgins, you know, didn't really have a role last year early, is that when he's on the field, they're going to manufacture touches, and then knowing Stefanski, they're going to wait till defenses know that, then they're going to, you know, pump fake and screen the other way or try to hit Odell deep, something like that. So, you know, he has to win a role because he's in a really crowded receiver room, but I certainly think there are a small number, but a number of touches that they can get him on jet sweeps and different things. I mean, I thought last year, it was Stefanski obviously was superb. I thought there were a few times he was too aggressive. So we know he's not, you know, afraid to run reverse pass. They scored on that in Dallas. He's not afraid to let Jarvis handle the ball like an option quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, I envision a role for him, and I think there are a bunch of different ways they can try to let him loose.
On the defensive side, you know, obviously there's so many new faces, both through the draft and free agency. Let's start with the secondary, though. Can the secondary, which was terrible last year, go from a big weakness to actually being not just decent but a strength and maybe even a top 10 secondary this year? Is that too much to ask?
I don't think. I mean, look at who their first free agent was, John Johnson.
Yeah.
They had some of the worst safety play you've ever seen last year, so they want to shore that up, right? Ronnie Harrison was pretty good when he was on the field. He was hurt a lot. He came in late. And Delpit wasn't on the field at all. So can that instantly be better? Sure. You know, Mitchell and Kevin Johnson were pros. Mitchell never missed a snap. Kevin Johnson could play anywhere and really, you know, in a pinch, give you a lot, at least as a solid player. They feel like they've upgraded talent-wise with Johnson, with Troy Hill to play the slot, with, you know, Greedy coming back and Newsom competing with him in various ways for various snaps. So, sure, it can be. You're still sitting there. Most teams are. And we just don't know how it's going to work out. You add in JOK to play at passing downs. You know, you didn't really have that Delpit role last year after you lost him because, well, they didn't really have a lot of safeties, and they certainly didn't have anybody other than Ronnie Harrison that was even close to his body type and skill set. So, yeah, you know, when you talk about top 10 and stuff, Bull, that stuff we talk about, the bottom line is they gave up way too many big plays last year. And, you know, sometimes they were up by 21 and it was fine, but that's really when you're not supposed to give them up. So, yeah, I think just cutting down on the big plays and doing a little bit better job in coverage is the ideal way to think you can maximize Garrett and Clowney and those guys and then be really disruptive.
You mentioned JOK a couple of times. What do you anticipate his role? I mean, will he be like a true, like in a way, like a utility player like we see in baseball? I mean, is he going to do a variety of different things, or do you think they'll find kind of one role and have him do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, officially on the record, they said he's a weak side linebacker in this defense, and that's why we wanted to make a move. But they don't play much base defense. So, we probably need to see, you know, how ready Delpit is to play a full load. We probably need to see exactly what Anthony Walker's skill set is and the kind of jump that Jacob Phillips is going to make, and they think it's going to be a big jump. But, yeah, I mean, I see 50% of the snaps for JOK, and I could see it being much higher. The same with Newsom. I could see him being on the field all the time. The problem with that is a rookie corner is going to get found all the time, right? But I could see him being good enough to beat out Greedy Williams in camp. Sure. So, you know, those are things that will work themselves out. But I think the Browns, you know, not only feel like they've upgraded talent-wise with Hill and with John Johnson back there, but guys who have played in different defenses, who have played in big games, and who are going to tutor all those guys. So they're going to be better players, but they're also going to be, you know, kind of stabilizing forces. I mean, Troy Hill got drafted in, what, 15? I mean, he's going to be 30 years old when the season starts. Like, he's played in a lot of games. He's been around, and he can play inside and outside. Johnson's only 25, but – over the last 4 years with the Rams. That's a lot of big games, a lot of playoffs, the Super Bowl. Like, you know, these guys should be able to come in and instantly make you better.
Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, who's got the best wide receiving core right now?
Oh, Pittsburgh, probably. I worry about their whole offense, though, and maximizing those guys. You know, that's an interesting question. I could be totally wrong, because a healthy Odell and an ascending Donovan Peoples-Jones could make the Browns the best of that group, you know?
Yeah.
I know there's high expectations for Ja'Marr Chase. We'll see what happens there. That feels like a team that's going to have to win every game 42-41, which kind of worked out for the Browns last year, right? So we'll see. But, you know, that's interesting. You know, the thing with the Browns receiving core is only Peoples-Jones is guaranteed to be on the team a year from now. So there's a lot at stake. But I just thought Jarvis, the back half of last year, played phenomenally well. Obviously, Higgins had the best year of his career. Peoples-Jones really came on, and you have Odell now, which is a pretty good guy to bring out of the bullpen.
Is there anything to be said for, you know, I mean, I guess it's changed a little bit. Even last year, they played a decent amount of night games. But for years, the Browns would play 13, 14, maybe even 15 1 o'clock games. And this year, the schedule, you know, that right now they already have seven games that are either 4 o'clock or night games. You brought up the fact that the Raider game could end up being, and who knows? I mean, maybe by the when it's all said and done, you're going to have nine games that are 4 p.m. or later. How challenging is that for a team that may not be as used to the changing times? Is it a big deal or no?
Well, I think you can go back 2 years when they had those three early primetime games, and they didn't handle anything well that year, right? But
yeah.
The fact is, if they convert in the red zone against either the Rams or Seattle, maybe that whole season's different. So, to me, more a talking point than an actual factor, because the only Monday night game right now is week 17, and that's what leads to short weeks, and that's what leads to, you know, when guys are banged up. So you have the short week, I guess, you know, week 7 with Denver, but then you don't have another one for a long time. And so it's just about, you know, having your guys and having time to actually practice and get guys acclimated. So I'm pretty sure they're not thrilled about the bye week being that late, but if they do end up being really good, and maybe that ends up being a great time to rest before you really make a run at it, you know? So most of the time, Bull, I think all those things even out. You know, and then when you do get in a situation where somebody's really good and all of a sudden you have three big games in a row, you just deal with it. I mean, you just don't know in this league. I mean, last year we were all crowning the Jets the worst team of all time, and they beat the Rams in December, right? And then they beat the Browns, and we know the Browns didn't have their guys, but you just don't know, and the margins are so thin. I mean, I think all four teams in the AFC North are capable of having good to pretty good years, and I think – it will honestly come down to either one game or a tiebreaker between the Browns and the Ravens at the end.
I think there's a good chance you're right about that. We're talking with Zach Jackson from The Athletic. Zach, is Sheldon Richardson still on the Browns' radar or no, you think?
It doesn't feel like it, right? They're signing all these guys. You're signing Malik McDowell, who's never played a game before. Tells me you're in desperation mode, right? So, I don't know. I knew that was always possible. I didn't think they would do it. I don't like it. I understand why they did it. I do believe there will be a market for Sheldon eventually now that the draft is over, but we'll see. Sometimes these things don't work out. You know, the Colts immediately made sense, and they ended up signing another guy that got cut by the Cowboys. So Sheldon's 30. Sheldon's a good player. He has a lot of money, and, you know, now he's completely a free agent. He was only under contract for one more year, so he can wait, you know. He can wait well into training camp if he wants, and maybe he will come back to the Browns. But just the way I read it now, I don't see that happening, but things change because you just never know in this league, and especially now that the Browns are in win-now mode. I mean, you know, maybe something happens and they just go back and get it done, but it seems unlikely at this point.
All right, Zach, good stuff as always, man. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Bull.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.